With our special guest this hour, Alex Jones. And of course, we're going to take your phone calls with Alex as we talk about the New World Order on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Alex Jones. Alex, let me be the devil's advocate for just a moment here. Are some of these executive orders smart business? And by that, I mean, if there is, God forbid, an asteroid that hits us, some calamity, people start to panic, they're running all over the streets. Somebody's got to step in and say, wait a minute, folks, calm down. We got to get control of this. And then you've got these various agencies that are supposed to step in and do it right. Does that sound like it's workable?
Yes, if we hadn't caught the federal government working for foreign banks and stealing tens of trillions of dollars in bailouts, if we hadn't caught the federal government burning down Waco, if we hadn't caught the federal government shipping guns into Mexico under Fast and Furious to then blame the Second Amendment, if we hadn't caught them engaging in medical experiments, giving black men syphilis, and the list goes on and on, then yes, certainly in the 1950s, Congress said, okay, the president and the military can basically take over society if we have a nuclear war with the Russians and every U.S. city is turned into a big black crater. But now they're taking those powers, as people warned in the 50s they would, and saying, you know what? We're going to suspend due process and take over the economy for any reason we deem, including economic. That's what's so dangerous about this. And just 2 weeks ago in China, the Communist Party passed a new law saying, well, we'll secretly arrest dissidents and have them disappear now. We never had that on paper, but they quoted the NDAA.
Now we'll run over them with tanks, right? It's okay.
Yes. And so now America has gone from decrying Communist China to what our government is doing is now the model of despotic systems worldwide. Now America isn't that mansion on a hill, that lighthouse on a hill. It's now an example of how torture, preemptive war, secret arrest is a good thing. And George, you've had the guest on, you've covered it, you've broken it down, you're an award-winning newsman in your own right. You've seen the math. We don't owe 90%+ of these derivatives. This isn't our debt. It's not Europe's debt. We're being told, get ready for austerity. Get ready for the end of our way of life. Get ready for Agenda 21 and all of this because we've lived outside our means. That is a bunch of baloney. The globalists are simply bringing in authoritarianism, and they want us poor. So we're so busy trying to pay our bills, we don't have time to speak out against what they're doing. The globalists admit, Maurice Strong, the UN, all of them admit, they want a post-industrial world. They want to make us poor so that we're so poor we don't have the time and energy to resist what they're doing. The system is using poverty as a political tool.
Let's go now. The phone calls are lining up for you, Alex, and the hour will fly by. We'll go to Josh, first of all, in Superior, Colorado. Go ahead, Josh. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Hey, you know, I got to say, it's pretty rare to get both of you on the same phone line at once.
You got us.
Yeah. Well, how are you, Alex?
I'm good, Josh. Good to hear from you.
I gotta thank you for all the good work you've done and illuminating everyone and really bringing people to the brink of awareness.
Well, again, please don't thank me. I've got children. I just want to live in a free country.
You know, okay. When they start rounding people up, throwing them in these camps, when they start really implementing these, saying, you know, all these things they're doing, what are we supposed to do when telling people is not enough? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to form some sort of coalition, perhaps, maybe, such as the founding fathers did when such tyranny was being brought upon them? What are we supposed to do? I think we're past the time of talking and awakening people. They are implementing these tyrannical bills against the Constitution and at an alarming rate, and I'm not exactly sure what it is we're supposed to do.
Well, Alex, let's find out on that, Josh. Thank you for calling. First of all, Alex, they're not going to just round people up off the streets for nothing, for no reason. Something's got to happen for that to all occur.
Yes.
What do you think that could be?
Well, we've seen this in other authoritarian systems. These globalists are masters of psychology. They're not going to go grab Rush Limbaugh or George Norrie or Alex Jones day one. They're going to try to intimidate us. They're going to try to get us to go along with their system. They're going to try to knock us off the air by, you know, going after sponsors, whatever the case is. That's why even if you don't totally agree with somebody politically in their free speech, you need to defend everybody's free speech as long as it's not a call for violence. And that's where I have to address what the caller just said, and then I want to address
right. Because Josh, he sounded like he was tipping toward, you know, grabbing the gun and being ready.
Yeah, look, the average person that works for the system is compartmentalized and doesn't understand what's happening. The pen is mightier than the sword. There's a reason the federal government admits they want to censor online radio. There's a reason they want to censor news sites. It's because we are beginning to dominate the news cycle. We're becoming the new mainstream media, and the old media is becoming the dinosaur media. People go to George Norrie. They go to you. They go to Glenn Beck. They go to the WorldNet Daily. They go to Jerome Corsi. They go to just a few hundred people who are out there and have proven they know what they're talking about. So the system is upset about that. So they want to go ahead and get a shooting war going. You know, the feds have been caught, and criminal interest inside the federal government have been caught over and over again staging violent events to demonize opposition to the New World Order. So I understand the frustration of not just wanting to talk, but you never engage in violence offensively. If your back's against the wall with a thug or a mugger or somebody trying to put you on an army truck to take you to a FEMA camp, then that's another subject. But what George said is absolutely right. If you read the Emergency Centers Establishment Act they tried to pass 2 years ago, it admits in Congress what we know has already been built, that during a total economic collapse, which is orchestrated, but those that do it will pose as the saviors, there'll be so many millions of homeless people that you're going to have people beating down the doors. I've been to urban warfare drills where they're practicing putting Americans in camps.
They're not fun, are they?
They're not fun. And the role players scream, "I'm an American, don't take my gun." But the other role players scream, "I'm an American, let me in the camp." So they're pushing these emergency centers as centers for emergency. So they're going to sell it like that. So this isn't, look, the tyrants may put it on paper that they can secretly arrest us and torture us, but it's another thing to actually implement. So the power, you know, all these people, there's record gun sales. Everybody I know says they're locking and loading and getting ready. And I say to them, look, fine, have your guns. Nothing wrong with that, to fight criminals, whatever the case is. It's a good deterrent.
And defend yourself.
But don't not get involved at city council or the state house. Don't get, you know, involved in politics and then later wish you'd have done something. It's now time to get involved with your mouth. It's time to get involved writing letters. It's time to engage in the info war instead of just sitting back and waiting to go after some poor bureaucrat they send after you who's following orders.
Well, and here's an example, Alex. A couple weeks ago, we started really pushing hard about this pink slime, this
yes.
ground beef with ammonia. You're aware of it. You've talked about it. And you know what? After enough people got ticked off and went to their local school districts, the feds backed off. And now they're giving the states the rights to just do what they want to do, cancel it if they want to. That's unprecedented.
Exactly, George. I remember hearing you 9 years ago on the radio, 2002, fighting the different acts that they had in place, the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act, where they were going to openly, forcibly inoculate all the first responders, police, fire people, others. And then they all said no. You led the charge against that. Look at how SOPA was going to openly end free speech and due process on the internet, and we beat that together. That's my point. Instead of just going and buying a bunch of guns and digging in some cabin and shooting the first poor cop that comes by, that's crazy. Why don't you go to the police station and talk to the police 100 times if that's what it takes, getting them informed before you ever think about any type of physical contact. The globalists are going to sit offshore and try to implement martial law and start a civil war. We have to be smarter as Americans and come together and say, you know what? We figured out what you've done, and we're not going to play games. We're not going to be fooled.
That's a good point, a true point. I think true strength is being prepared, but in mass, to fight these things, and I think we can win. You said it yourself on this program about a year ago when we were talking about the quote of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who said, they're aware of our plan. He was in shock, remember?
Yes, and Hillary said, the next week we're losing the info war. The people are waking up. And again, if somebody tries to come to my house and drag me and my children
out, you've
got
to defend yourself.
Oh, it's over. But I'm not going to get up here on air and just say, everybody, it's time to do something physical. No. You never attack offensively. You have a strong defense. I think it's great that people are getting prepared, but it's not enough to buy a gun. You've got to get trained properly with it, folks. But at the same time, the power of speaking out is 100 times more powerful than a shooting war. So never talk about having a shooting war like our forebears had to have before you've exhausted every other avenue.
You know, I feel 100% safer in a state that allows concealed weapons than a state that does not.
Well, you should, exactly. Look at cities like Chicago and New York, where they have basically total gun bans. Their crime rates are off the charts because criminals know they can invade homes and feel safe.
Yeah, and that the legal abiding person isn't going to be walking around the streets with a .380 in their pocket.
Well, that's right. All I know is I sleep really good at night, knowing that I've got a shotgun up in a case above my children's reach, and I've got instant access pistol safes that I can get handguns in a matter of seconds. In fact, I'm sitting in my office right now, and right here is an instant access pistol safe where I just hit 5 buttons, a code, and the safe pops open, and my Glock is sitting right there, and I'm ready to defend myself.
And the neighborhood.
And the neighborhood.
Let's go next to Odessa, Texas. Michael's with us on Coast to Coast, east of the Rockies. Hi, Michael.
Good morning to both of you. I'm a longtime listener of both your programs.
Thanks,
I enjoy
Michael.
Them very much. Alex, I've heard you talk quite a bit in recent days about the tracking devices that they're putting in our appliances. And my question is two parts, and I'll take my answer off the air. Firstly, can you tell us a little bit more about how these apparatus work, how it is that they're able to track us and what it is that we're up to? And secondly, where would someone go to get the information to get these things the heck out of our appliances and out of our homes? Thank you.
Let me take the end of your great question first. Unfortunately, the cell phones under regulations, the new toasters, the new clock radios,
they're in there. They're made with that, right?
Yes. It's hardwired into the motherboard, into the main chip. As the Secretary of Defense has said, as the head of the CIA has openly said. And so that's the problem. You're paying for it in the cost of the product. There are still different brand names out there that have not implemented this, but a lot of the big brand names have. Just like 10 years ago, we'd warn people about smart meters going in California when they were in the testing phase, that they would control your heating and cooling, that they would tax you more during peak times. And California said, no, that's not true. The last 3-4 years as they've gone in Texas and California and other states, they're like, oh, yeah, we are going to control your thermostat. We are going to charge you more. And so the caller was asking, how do they work? And to oversimplify this, there's a lot of different systems, but there are wireless systems off of smart meters that are out on the pole in the neighborhood that wirelessly read all the meters. Those are activating and communicating with chips that are in dishwashers, computers, you name it, smart meters. But even more insidious, I remember hearing Hart Bell talk about this like 12 years ago, they have data over power lines where they can send data down the power line into your light socket and into the appliance, and the appliance has a chip in it that then downloads all the information back over your power lines. But it gets worse. 2 years ago, I learned of federal Homeland Security grants, first in Minnesota, then spreading out to other states. But first it was Minnesota, where city buildings and state buildings get grants for these new light bulbs, and they're given new computers where the light bulb flickers in a Morse code rate faster than the eye can see. This is like Associated Press. If you're a new listener, I know it sounds crazy. It's real. The light bulb basically then interfaces with your computer, and the government can then access your computer via the light bulb and tell the computer where to log in, where to go, and then download all the contents of your computer to a government server. That's why they're trying to force everybody onto these General Electric Curly Q fluorescent light bulbs, because they can be accessed by the data over power line and actually remote control your computers and appliances.
Let's go next to Karen in California. Welcome to the program. Hi, Karen.
Hi, George. Hi, Alex. It's an honor to talk to you, Alex. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
I have tried to tell people to listen to you, and they're all about, oh, the guy thinks this, the guy thinks that. I says, no, the man finds the information. He reports it. How do I tell these cough syrup drinking the cough, grandpa's cough syrup, where to go find it for themselves, so that they can see that you're not a bunch of, you know, BS?
Well, I would tell them that, look, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, and I wouldn't just take information I cover, and I wouldn't even send people to me. I would just send them to General Petraeus, the head of the CIA. In the last time I checked, over 500 news articles with the transcript and the video of him 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago announcing that your appliances are watching you and you no longer have a Fourth Amendment. And I would also send them, you know, to shows that sometimes are less abrasive, a little more skilled in their delivery, like Coast to Coast AM. But I would also tell them, look, you don't want to be behind the learning curve here. Most people already know something's wrong. And if somebody's laughing at you just because you're trying to warn them, that's their problem. I mean, if you're not upset, you're not paying attention, as the bumper sticker reads.
Oh, that's a good point, Alex. Alex, we're going to take this break. We're going to come back with you in just a moment, as we will take final phone calls with Alex Jones. Split show for you tonight. Later on, Oberon Zell joins us as we talk about wizards and strange creatures right here on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to follow Alex, if you want to track his work, he's got two major websites. He's also got a TV project underway. You can get that information as well when you go to Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. He's got a slew of DVDs and videos out there, including Endgame, Terror Storm, and they are some of the best. We'll be back. Well, next hour, the program, of course, continues. Oberon Zell joins us as we talk about wizards and very strange creatures. When we come back, let's talk with Alex Jones. He's not strange. That's next on Coast to Coast. And just so you know, the National Defense Resources Preparedness, we're talking about that executive order issued in 1939. It's been kicked around by nearly every president all the way through. So they're all part of this, Alex, aren't they?
You're right. President after president reauthorizes all of this. It's just Obama changed it from during a major war, during the Cold War, during nuclear attack. He changed it to peacetime for an economic emergency. And we know it's a mathematical certainty, if we don't write off all this derivatives debt, that we're going to go down the black hole.
Sure. He may be right then. He may see something that not a lot of other people see, and that could be a calamity.
Oh, it is uncertain. Look, we are headed towards a calamity if we don't get out of this fractional reserve banking, Federal Reserve system. It's just when I see videos from C-SPAN of the Attorney General saying we've got to brainwash the public against the Second Amendment, it doesn't give me a lot of confidence about the crew that's in the White House. But as you said, presidents for a long time have been part of this. It's just that it's coming to a head now. They may have had this stuff on the books a long time ago, but they didn't have the nerve to have the Secretary of Defense go before Congress and say our military is run by the UN. They didn't have the nerve to say, hey, we're spying on you without warrants. They didn't have the nerve to have the TSA in the airports groping people's children. Everything, as you said last hour, is in high gear. It's all accelerating. Just 4 or 5 years ago, they would deny it. They would apologize. They'd try to cover it up. They'd try to spin it. Now, it's like they are just on parade. It makes my job a lot easier, but it doesn't make it fun to know that everything we've talked about, George, that you've talked about, that so many others have talked about, it's now coming true. And hey, there's the good news. At least we were there beforehand warning people. So as this unfolds, your credibility, my credibility is rising. I'm not tooting our horn. I'm sad about that. I want to live in a free country. I would rather everything go back to normal, things get better. I'll be honest with you. I would probably quit doing my news website. I would probably move on to other things. But unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be out of a job that way anytime soon.
Plus, it's in your blood, Alex.
It is in my blood.
No doubt. My mother today, by the way, 82 years old, went to the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, the Detroit branch. She's one of the only Federal Reserves that has a branch like that from a bank. And she was all excited. I mean, she said she was going to look at how they put the money away and everything. And I was going to tell her. I was going to say, Mom, did you know it's not a part of the federal government? And I said, you know what, George, don't go there. You know, she's 82. God love her. And you got to explain this, and it just she just isn't ready for that. And
yeah, you don't want to ruin the fun of it.
So I let her. Yeah, she thought this was a great time. She got on a bus, and they all went down there. All these 80-year-olds, and they're running around the Federal Reserve, Chicago Detroit branch, and looking at money. I hope she pocketed a whole bunch. You know, who knows with her?
Hey, when I was a kid, I visited the D.C. Federal Reserve, and I bought. Well, my parents bought a whole sheet of $2 bills that hadn't been cut yet, and we framed them, and I've got that in storage somewhere, so yeah.
It's neat. Let's take some final calls here. We'll go to John in Sheridan, Wyoming. Welcome to the program, John. Thanks for holding.
Thank you, George, for another outstanding program, and thank you for having my favorite guest on.
Excellent.
Two quick items, if I may. Alex, could you talk about the voter fraud going on? As well as there's something very troubling. A year ago in the American Rifleman, they reported that Homeland Security had contracted to buy 200 million rounds of 40 Smith & Wesson ammo from Winchester, and that was supposed to be over a five-year contract. Now they're buying an additional 450 million rounds of 40 Smith & Wesson ammo.
That's true.
Yeah, that's more than two rounds for every American man, woman, and child in the country. And I'm wondering, what are they expecting?
Well, as you know, every federal agency under the sun, even groups that had never been armed previously, are buying shotguns, rifles, semi-autos, M16s, handguns. I saw the reports of the giant ammo buys. The federal government is digging in against the American people.
Well, maybe they don't want it to fall in our hands.
Exactly. Well, that's part of it. And the American people are buying up the firearms at a record level. So that's basically the answer to that question. I totally concur with you. It just has all the makings of battle lines being drawn, and that's the last thing we need to do. But I forgot, what was the first part?
The voter fraud. What's going on in that arena?
Oh, incredible election fraud. I saw this in Iowa. And the Ron Paul campaign didn't want to admit it. Then even the New York Times in Maine had to say Ron Paul won Maine. He really won South Carolina. He won Nevada. But because they cheated him on those first states, then people said, well, he can't win.
He can't win. We're not going to vote for him. Yeah.
Yeah. So at that point, the momentum began to shift. But now Ron Paul has come out and said, yes, there's evidence of fraud. He doesn't want to sound like a sore loser, but the facts are the facts. If you look at Maine and Iowa, Ron Paul was cheated. I mean, they had six counties in Maine where Ron Paul had double-digit leads. And the Republican Party leadership said, you know what? We're just not going to count those counties. So Ron Paul has been cheated. But people shouldn't get bummed out. the fact that he did so well, the fact that that message of liberty is out there, the fact that most people now know the Federal Reserve is private, not federal, we're beginning to gain ground. So the fact that they had to cheat Ron Paul shows you how desperate the system is.
It sure is. Let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, where? Louisiana. Hi, Cornelius.
Hey, George and Alex. Boy, you're something else, George, I tell you. I love you. And I just wanted to say, Alex, I had brought up the thing with Tommy about, I know you know about the Vatican and J.P. Morgan trying to take their...
Investments.
Investments and stuff. Yeah, you got it. So I just wanted to see how you thought about that and take my answer off the air.
Well, I've just covered the facts, and undoubtedly the Vatican is big and powerful, and undoubtedly other groups have major power, but at the very top of this global heap, it's Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase, and they run the show, and nothing is safe, nothing is sacred. They get away with anything they want because worldwide they've spent the last 50 years getting their people into every major regulatory position, into every Secretary of Treasury, into every Secretary of the Exchequer, all the financial positions they've got their people in. And that's why The Economist and even Time Magazine and others have run headlines, you know, saying Goldman Sachs coup over Europe. And this is world government of and by private banks through scams. And it just shows the power they've got.
Alex, I know you normally don't make predictions, but I do want to get what your gut sees about the Iran. What do you think could happen?
Well, we've been talking for years about an upcoming war because Israel has said they want to have one. Other political interests think that that'll be a good political diversion. Iran has been somewhat belligerent as well. There's already a war going on there. For over a year, there have been covert assassinations, bombings of military bases, you name it, going on. And so there's already a covert war going on. And I would give it a 70% chance that sometime in the next year there's going to be a strike. I mean, right now they've got three aircraft carriers there. They're gearing up all these different facets of the military. For war, everybody I talk to who's in the military at a high level says they've been told it's a foregone conclusion.
I say 90% unless something dramatic happens to the Iranian leadership and they leave or they're tossed out.
Again, 70, 90, yes, everything is pointing towards an attack. The problem is they've done all these war games. The former head of the Mossad has broken it down. All these different military scientists have said that it's going to unify the entire Arab world and the Muslim world against Israel and the United States. And the globalists aren't going to have to stage terror attacks in Europe and the United States if this happens. The Iranian Intelligence Bureau has openly said they're going to launch attacks inside the U.S. And what disgusts me is, long after Iran is wiped off the map, the globalists are going to use those attacks to take my freedom. And it's just so disgusting because I don't support what Iran's doing. I'm for America. I'm not against Israel. But in the final equation, we're all going to lose our freedom in this war. And that's why I pray and hope that some type of resolution can be reached.
Let's go next to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Hello, John. It's your turn. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I'm long-time listener and first-time caller.
All right, great. Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Alex, I wanted to ask you a question. What are we going to do about the bill that was signed by the president? If they think that you're a terrorist, that they could come in your home and take you out, this is very scary.
It's there. It's on the books, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, that's the NDAA, and... Look, let them try to implement it. We're going to expose it. We're going to speak out against it. We're going to point out that the Christmas Day underwear bomber was gotten on the plane by the U.S. government. That was even in congressional testimony on C-SPAN. We're going to expose what's happening. Look, they're admitting that they have the CIA director on the news saying he's watching you to make you feel like you've done something wrong. They're announcing they can kill you in the middle of the night to make you be scared. Look, I hadn't done anything wrong. I might have sped driving home tonight, but that's it, 5 miles over the speed limit. So what? You're listening to me? You're going to come kill me? Go ahead. I'm going to stand up like my forefathers did and my foremothers for liberty and freedom. And if you want to engage in a bunch of government crime, that's on your soul, on your conscience. But just speak out against it. Look, I'm going to be honest. I think the NDAA and all these executive orders and the drones and the torture is convicting the New World Order. They think it's intimidating us. No, it's doing the opposite. It is getting all these people off the fence who are in denial. It is really showing people what we're facing. And humanity is being given by God, because God has a rule. You've got to be given a choice. Evil is manifesting itself and parading around in front of us, letting us know what it's doing. The old metaphysical rule of the vampire is it has to trick you to let it in. You've got to give it permission. Well, let me just make this declaration before the whole world here now. I don't give evil permission to be over my life. I don't give the New World Order permission to wreck my country. I am saying no, and I'm putting my body, my soul, my name, my energy against it. And the power of all of us together, taking action, praying, focusing, meditating on liberty, will dispel the darkness. We've got to be workers in the light.
Where'd you get that title?
I got him, George Norrie.
Let's go west of the Rockies. Eric's in Los Angeles. Eric, you're on with Alex Jones.
Hey, folks.
Hi.
Good to talk to you tonight.
Good to have you with us.
All right. Well, I just wanted to comment. I had somebody that I met today that's speaking to me and telling me about how, you know, in the neighborhood, they're registering.
I'm losing you, Eric.
Yeah, they're registered.
Try to get back. We lost him. His phone faded out. But let's go to Sue Ann in Newburgh, Indiana, east of the Rockies. Hi, Sue Ann. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
Good.
I was wondering, to backtrack just a little bit, I'm expecting a large sum inheritance. And with all this garbage going on with the Federal Reserve and the Homeland Security business, what do I do with my money?
Well, Sue, you called the right couple guys. Alex and I will meet you for lunch, and you can just bring it to us. I'm kidding.
No, seriously. I mean, let me just.
I would love to.
Ma'am, I don't know your particulars, and so I can't give you advice. I personally would do the old-fashioned thing. I would diversify. I would pay down debts. I'd get storable food, water, and then I would invest in precious metals. I would invest in helping my community, friends and family. That's what I've personally done with a little bit of money
and
I have.
And find an honest investment advisor you can work with.
Yes, yes.
There's some out there, believe me.
Yeah, I've been with J.P. Morgan for a little while, but I cleaned that account out recently. Medical problem.
How much are we talking about, Sue Ann? I'm curious now.
Well, to me, it's a sizable sum. It'd be about $250,000.
That's a huge sum. You know, that's your lifeline, so we protect it.
No kidding. I already spent my other $250,000.
You know, I would interview some good investment advisors. You know, Alex, after what Bernie Madoff did, I'm a little skittish of the appearance of individuals. You know, there is one thing to say about too big to fail. You know, companies like that, even if you get misled by them, I think they're big enough to back it up. What do you think, Alex?
No, I agree with you. It's always the little guy who claims they've got something too good to be true that's going to end up hammering you. I don't like Bank of America or Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan or any of these big groups, but they are pretty much too big to fail. You may get paid back in devalued dollars through inflation, but you'll probably end up getting paid back. That's why I have no money in the stock market. And look, I'm not saying don't have money in the stock market. If you've got time to be informed on the stocks, if you've got time to be watching it, then there are some investments out there that are really paying, you know, good dividends and seeing good, you know, stock increases. I know Apple, they thought 300 was the top. Now it's over, you know, 500, 600 bucks. It's just that I would spend all my time studying stocks if I was ready to give people advice. And so that's why I'm here to say I cannot give financial advice. All I know is this economy is going in the wrong direction.
And, you know, it's holding on. You know why it's holding on, Alex? Because those people who are working, and we've got this disparity between those who do not, who don't have, those who are working. It's those who are working that are propping up this economy right now.
Yeah, you've got record numbers of people unemployed, but you've got record numbers of people working two or three jobs who still do consume. And so a lot of your favorite restaurants are gone, a lot of your favorite stores are gone, but still there's an economy out there. And the American people, the people of the world, by and large, you know, really want to live good lives. And there's so much energy and so much momentum in a huge economy like America's economy that it takes time for it to wind down. But we do see that winding down, and it's going to be hard to get it speeding back up. And again, the globalists in their own documents, George, say they want to train us to live with less. They want to train us to basically be poor. And I just don't want to go along with that.
Will we or will we not have a presidential election in November?
I think we will.
I do too.
Again, when we talk about martial law and executive orders and dictators, it's the office of the presidency that is being turned into this dictatorial entity that ignores Congress and the courts. It doesn't mean the president themselves will actually be a dictator. They're more of a placeholder, more of a puppet that special interests put in. But undoubtedly, through the UN, through these big mega banks, the executive branch that the president sits at the head of is becoming a rubber stamp for the New World Order. And again, as powerful as the globalists are, they cannot stand the light of day. They cannot stand public scrutiny. They cannot stand being identified, as you said last hour, where Zbigniew Brzezinski is panicking that the world is waking up to the shadow government. The minute we realize presidents are puppets, the globalists lose their power.
We now know all about that. Alex, thank you so much. Up next, a little bit of wizards and strange creatures.